Welcome to the E-Commerce Momentum Podcast, where we focus on the people, the products, and the process of e-commerce selling today. Here's your host, Stephen Peterson.
Welcome back to the E-Commerce Momentum Podcast. This is episode 22, Ryan Witeska. Ryan is a ferocious competitor. A give it all, put your nose to the grindstone, work so hard, outwork, do work, beat everyone. And yet, we spend most of the time in this segment talking about building blocks and really establishing a foundation on which to build your business. And I think it's one of the reasons that he's been so successful. So let's get into the podcast and hear how he talks about it. All right, welcome back to the E-Commerce Momentum Podcast. And tonight's special guest has been selling a lot longer than I would have guessed, because when you meet him, you would think he's maybe 22, 23. So obviously he's a little older than that. Ryan Witeska. Hey, welcome, Ryan.
How's it going, buddy? Long time no talk.
Yeah. Life is good. So, you know, Ryan, I got you pegged at 21, 22, or 23 years old. You sure look like it. But you tell me you've been selling for over 10 years. Oh, is that right?
Yeah. You know, don't tell some of those websites this, but I definitely found a way to sell before I was legally allowed to get on those platforms. But you know what? It was a hell of a lot better than working in the mall or, washing cars. I got to tell you, my parents wanted me to definitely get into something, you know, to make my money for myself. Product of two salesmen, that's just how it is.
And so wait, so your parents were both salespeople?
Yeah, they grew up with it. So it was feast or famine. I knew that growing up quite well.
And you didn't go into that trade?
Well, in a way. Isn't this what we do, my man?
Well, but you if there was one thing I would have pictured you know, that you were a salesman before, even in college, you would have been one of those guys, you know, the mega sellers who come and sell, follow the hailstorms. Those guys can sell anything, and they make a gazillion dollars very quickly because they're so good at it. That wasn't you?
Well, you got to learn the ropes, and it's all about the means and what you really want to get and what your goals are to accomplish. Man, whenever I was in school, I wanted to keep my scholarship. School's expensive, and I sold my way through that just to make ends meet. But at the same time, I was there to learn and get an education. I wasn't there necessarily to go for two semesters and then start a business right away. Yeah, some people can do that, but like you've seen with a lot of the other people you've had on your podcast, I mean, you got to baby step this one thing at a time, get an expertise on something, then add something to it. And that's kind of what I've done over every year that I've done this, and it's been fairly successful to this point. That's a slow process. It's not necessarily an instant gratification.
So there's our first nugget for tonight. It's almost foundational, right? That's what you're saying, is you're laying a building block in essence, right?
Oh, yeah. It's an investment. I mean, you're not going to go necessarily and buy a ton of lottery tickets, and your odds are going to be astronomical. I mean, you're never going to get anywhere that way. But, you know, you save and you start young and you build it and you build it, you build it. Very quickly, you realize after a certain amount of time, you got a lot of capital there. And that's where I think a lot of this foundational knowledge that you speak of, especially with anything on Amazon or e-commerce, that comes into play.
So what was your degree?
So I went to Texas Christian University, graduated in 2010 with majors in entrepreneurial management and business information systems, which is essentially e-commerce.
I think, you know, you and I have hung out a bunch of times, and what blows me away is your knowledge of the inner workings. You know, I had Michael Flanagan's interview, mm-hmm. and he's an IT
great
guy.
Great interview.
I mean, he just knew everything. You have so much more of the business insider, and I can tell the technical. None of that intimidates you at all. Is that the degree? Does that really got you?
Yeah,
that knowledge.
And back in the mid 2000s, they didn't really not a lot of schools offered management degrees with specifically to startups. I mean, we kind of were in a tech bubble, but everything just crashed, and we're trying to figure things out. And for some reason, this purple school in Texas had one of the best, and so I went there just for that. And very quickly, I learned that you can get a degree in management or a specific part of management, startups, entrepreneurship, but you need to back end that with finance maybe or accounting like what you've done. And you've seen a lot of people on your podcast specifically that they have a trait, but they always like to bookend it with at least one or two other things, and it rounds them out as a really good player in this business. For me, that was the e-commerce side, the business information side. And I'm telling you, it works perfectly today with how Amazon or many of these other technical companies start. Amazon is a ones and zeros company. Their competition right now is Google. is a Netflix, is a the next frontier type of a thing. They're so far ahead of that. The reason why they built this fulfillment network is they need people like you and I to be successful. They need people to supply them with the products, to supply them with the, you know, end demand. Their consumers are people that have to eat, breathe, go to the bathroom. But they're at the at their core a data company. And so understanding those ones and zeros, where those sellers providing them the content and providing them the goods that are going to meet their bottom lines and help them grow so they can compete with those behemoths.
So your parents are both in sales. So did you pick up those traits? I mean, was that just a natural – I mean, is your family just that way? Is that just the way it was every night at dinner? I mean, just that energy from salespeople?
Yeah, I would generally say that. But more so than anything from the sales perspective and the energy perspective, you got to work to put food on the table. And you have to sacrifice a bit. The first job they put me in, and it was kind of twofold. They said, Ryan, we want you to learn how to play golf, but at the same time, that's expensive. Why don't you caddy for a summer? And so me and my best friend, and we're those awkward, you know, scrawny middle schoolers carrying bags at the crack of dawn, at the, you know, the mist hasn't really left par one yet. And so you get up there, and I remember working an entire summer caddying and, you know, barely getting tips and thinking, man, these people seemingly have everything they want in the world, you know, playing golf on a Saturday morning, Sunday morning, living the dream. And yet I'm here scraping for pennies. And it got me to think, man, this is not necessarily what I want to be. But you know what? At the end of the day, I had enough money to go out with my buddies to go get a CD or go to the movies with some friends and stuff like that. And the value of a dollar, that's what it was taught more so than anything else. It wasn't necessarily that the money's going to come in every month. It wasn't necessarily that I came in from a big union type family where it's assumed you're going to get a pension and everything else that comes along with that, and you're going to pay in and you're going to get out. It was, if you want to get this dinner in front of you, you got to find a way to a means. And so it's that motivation that I carry, I think, to this day.
You eat what you kill, right?
Yeah, kind of, in a lot of ways. And so
it's competitive?
Competitive?
Yeah.
You know what? I don't know if it's competitive or not, but man, I am competitive to a fault.
That's what I know. That's where I was going with this, is that you are one of the most competitive people that I've ever met. You just have that, you know, if I'm going to do it, you're going to do it better. And it's not like you're one-upping, but you take a challenge and you seize it, right? You don't just go after it. You seize it.
You have
to. Is that fair?
Yeah, you
got to
seize the day.
And always been that way.
Well, I like to think so. And you know what? To a fault, man, I am not perfect at next to anything, all right? But the trick is if you can have a little bit more drive than the next person next to you. I got to tell you a story, man. I am the worst basketball player in the world, all right? My jump shot looks like something from Steve Urkel. It makes no sense. But until I reached an age where I was just utterly too short to compete, my parents were just shocked. My family was shocked. Like, how is Ryan making this basketball team? And it was just because I was willing to sweat a little bit more than the next person. Yeah, I might not be able to even make a dang layup, but I guess if a kid can play defense, he can get a couple minutes on the court. And that to sell on Amazon today, man, anyone can get into this game, right? Sign up, you pay your basic dues, you buy the basic printer, you sign up for a couple basic services, and within $250, you're a player in the game. Now, to say you have a lot of other things that are going to go along with that, and the bankroll, absolutely, of course. But we see this time and again, man. You and I are involved in many of these environments and seller groups and communities. Sellers have been doing this for 6 months, 1 year, 18 months. Not anyone who's been doing this, let alone 5 years. And they're selling five figures a month, six figures a month, hitting home runs left and right. Why? Because they're scraping, they're crawling. They're working their butts off, and you know what? They deserve that. Why? Because the opportunity is there, and they're going for it. So why not? You know, set a goal and reach for it. And you know what? The worst thing you can do is you can strike out. Try again.
I agree. I think, this work is no harder than any other work. You really have to use that four-letter word, work, right? I mean, it really is.
Yeah.
And that's really what it comes down to.
Yeah.
And I think you just have to be willing. You don't have to work harder than the next guy. You just have to work. I think most people, like contractors, try to get one to show up and do the job when they say they're going to. They don't. So the ones who do, they're really successful. And everybody's like, oh, man, they're really lucky.
Oh, man.
No.
I know you are big on mantras on this show, man. And I got to tell you, we have a hashtag. Some people make fun of them for the hashtags we have in AFT. But one of them is do work. And what we just talked about over these last 3 minutes, that's doing work, right? That's putting the extra 10% more that the person next to you isn't going to do, but you're willing to do. Why? Because you want it more. And that's doing work. And to me, if you can do a little bit more work than the next guy, well, then you're going to win more often than you're going to end up at the short end of the stick.
Well, you know what? You mentioned AFT. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to take us to break. And when we come back, I want to talk about AFT because sure. I've been a member a long time. And I want to talk about what it's what really it is, more so than just a sourcing group. So let's go to break. And when we come back, we'll talk about it. Today's podcast is brought to you by Seller Essentials, essential business solution for online sellers. Whether you sell general merchandise on Amazon or eBay, private label your own product, or if your focus is selling books, wholesale products, or liquidation lots, let Seller Essentials be your online resource for all things e-commerce. Essential resources, essential solutions, Seller Essentials, the internet's premier venue for online professional. Visit selleressentials.com for more information. That's selleressentials.com. Before we jump back in, I want to talk about something that I think is really, really cool. And I think some people will be approaching this point in their business where, you know, there is a law of diminishing returns. You know, there's only so much money you need to make. There's only so much effort that you really should give. You know, you might want to give more, you might want to give less, but there's an effort that you should give. I think Ryan has figured it out. And we talk about chasing dollars, but really chasing profitable dollars. And what a better idea that is. And how scaling back sometimes really helps you move forward. And I love this line about doing 55 in a 60 zone. How many of us do that? We're always going 95 and at 60. He says, hey, wait, slow down and go 55. So let's get into the podcast. All right, we're back and we're talking with Ryan Witeska, and Ryan is a mega seller. I don't care what anybody says. He is a mega seller for a single individual. Does have a warehouse, does a contract with some help here and there, but he is a true hustler. I mean, is that fair? I mean, you're not offended by that term,
no,
are you?
You know what? Anytime you can get grouped in with someone or a word that means people are working their butts off, hey, that's probably a good thing.
It is. And you know, what when I look at the group is called Amazing Flips and Tips, AFT for short. And when I look in the group, the analytical common sense approach to this business is so forward thinking. I just don't think a lot of the groups, and I'm in a lot of them, and I'm not selling them short. It's just a different thought process. For example, there's an example out there, I guess yesterday or day before, and they were talking about, hey, set your alerts on this and that because this is what's likely to happen. This is what happened last year and blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. Most people are just thinking about, hey, I got to get these boxes shipped from my garage and get them into the warehouse. You guys aren't thinking that way, yet you have this, you're being inundated with product every day, right? Just like everybody else.
Yeah, absolutely.
But yet you still have the time, space, capacity to start thinking that way. Where's that come from?
So whenever Peter and I, Peter Mullius, which I'm sure many of your listeners are going to know who Peter is, he's again, talk about mega sellers. I've been chasing this guy for years, right?
Competition, competitor.
And Peter and I used to be in a mastermind, again, years ago. And he took the jump into full time maybe about 6 months to a year before I did, and I've been playing catch up ever since. But he knows what's up. And whenever we were in this old mastermind, we were all just kind of a whole bunch of guys and gals who liked a certain niche. That happened to be video games. And I think most of the people in there were in that niche to pay for their hobby, which, honestly, not a bad thing to do. And what was forged there is the mentality that, you know what, you got to pay to play a little bit. You got to show a little skin, but at the same time, you got to lead by example. One of my favorite books is called Walk the Walk, and in it, it talks about the various types of leadership. And one thing I noticed, and I am late to this Facebook community game or online community game. You have guys like Bob Wiley starting these groups up on Yahoo, getting literally thousands of members on forums discussing all this, and I had no idea this was going on. And Peter sent me some messages, and he's like, man, you gotta start getting involved here. And I started checking out these various groups, and they're great, right? And Would you agree that there is a group for pretty much every seller, no matter what level you are, on Facebook?
Yeah, and there is, and it's really important for people to get in at the level that they're at.
Definitely.
You know, or maybe a little bit higher than where they're at. Don't jump into the biggest group. Don't jump into the teeny groups. You got to find that one and go a little, maybe a little bit above you, so you're reaching. But it's very important.
That's vital. To me, I saw these groups, and they kind of fell into four different categories. And in this book, Walk the Walk, it describes the four types of leadership that the author believes. And they fall into leadership, rulership, stewardship, and lemmingship. Now, I'm not going to go into the various, you know, differences between them, but in every group, you see a various, you know, a different form of each one, for better or worse, and, you know, to each their own. And Peter and I had this idea that, you know what, that there isn't really a place for us or people like us. And what are the places like us? The people don't want to get above the idea that the race to the bottom is inevitable. Get above the idea that I'm going to step on your toes and you're going to step on mine. Above the idea that there's enough product out there for everyone. Above the idea that there's enough time out there for everyone. And distill it and ultimately multiply our hands with the smartest and most driven people we can find. And in Amazing Flips and Tips, what we have here, the banner for our group right now is the No BS Expert Amazon Seller Group. And that's kind of how we're kind of a secret club in a lot of ways, because people I don't think really get us in the marketplace. You know, you have some sourcing groups that are going to provide you products nonstop. They're going to stream into your inbox. You're going to have groups that are going to talk about specific niches. You're going to have groups for beginners. You're going to have small masterminds. There are so many things out there for everyone to distill. But what you're talking about, the analysis, the constant, you know, give and take, the constant sharing of just different topics. We have experts from all fields. Man, looking at your podcast list and everyone you've had, I'm scrolling down the list now. I got to tell you, over a half to three quarters of everyone you've interviewed has been an AFT. What does that tell you?
It tells me, you know, again, that, you know, it's a smart group of people. And again, it's not putting any other group down. It's just saying, hey, this is a different way of thinking. It is not spoon feeding. There's nobody spoon feeding anything here. There are rules. There's not a lot of, you know, there is an AFT social. So where you can do, you know, just discuss mm-hmm. things and talk about fun stuff and that. But it's business in that group. It really is. I mean, it is no nonsense. It's business. Here's what you can do. Here's how you can do it. You know, for me, I don't know. How long has it been going?
So I believe we launched AFT February of 2014. So we're going on about a year and a half.
Okay. So I probably came in pretty close to the beginning.
Yeah.
And my theory every month is, you know, I quickly make a buy. I find enough stuff to cover my cost. I answer – somebody has a question or something, or I try to drop a tip here and there. Mm-hmm. And I get nothing but value. And every month I say to myself, huh, there's another one. And boom, I just – it takes me 5 seconds when I see a great
deal.
I'm like, boom, bump, buy.
And honestly, for groups like ours or Amazing Flips and Tips in general – you know, the spring and the early summer can be rough just because the flips from a retail level and an online level, which is primarily what we specialize in. We do discuss things like private label and wholesale to an extent, but we're finding the flips and the tips that make bottom line difference to your business. And you are so right. Whether you have an extra hour every week or you have an extra hour every day, what you want to put into this group and the discussions you're going to have and the messages that you can have in between the members – it's intimate, man. It's taken a year and a half to really distill a group of individuals that we're kind of like a family. But in a lot of ways, we are. And you get to know the nuances of each seller, and you see, well, you know what? This guy, he knows what he's talking about, and he's talking about a certain product or a certain, you know, opportunity right around the line. I need to pay attention to this. And I'm telling you, scroll back a month or two. You know, in the search bar, throw in a generic name of a product that you think's good. We've discussed it, and I got to tell you, my homepage on Google Chrome, the browser I use every day, it just instead of my email, instead of my Amazon account, you know where it sends me? AFT. Why? Because if I check in there, even just casually scrolling through and realizing, you know, every single day there's going to be a little bit of nugget of value, and that's what it's about. Again, Amazon is not about these home run grand slams. You can get up to speed really, really quick, but you got to have that daily push to really see the success. Because honestly, it's, man, it's a lot like a long-term relationship. You know, the honeymoon phase will fade when you're selling online. It's not just going to be sunshine and rainbows. You're going to have rough quarters, rough months.
I think you're right. Very low barrier to entry. It's a very low barrier to entry, and people get in, they find a great deal. Let's go back and look at Frozen, right?
Yeah.
Everybody made a ton of money selling Frozen stuff. It was easy. I mean, you just walk in somewhere, boom, you're there, and you'd sell it.
Man,
once that got locked up and closed,
yeah,
all these people were like, wait, my stuff's not selling.
What do I do?
What do I do? I bought it at full retail, and it's not selling. Now, you guys, are you much into stacking, you know, discount gift cards and all other kinds of tools for things like that?
Is that
a part of your business?
There are so many things you can slice this up. For me, fast is slow and slow is fast. So to say that I'm going to – now, I've tried this. Honestly, today I visited the Raise Marketplace actually last week. Had an order cancel. I mean, I'm buying – if I'm going to go on to Raise, I'm going to spend over several thousand dollars in gift cards if I'm going to do that. And I got to tell you, I run into more issues with things like gift card sites and cashback sites and just, you know, loopholes for a deal that half the time it's going to cause more trouble than it's worth half the time. And for the deals that I'm going to find, specifically with online opportunities – things might sell out before I have the opportunities to type in all those code, everything. Now, there's people that run their businesses off that, and more power to them. For me, I got to tell you, I think I'm stepping away more and more from the gift cards and the benefits and all those other things. I want to keep it simple. And the simpler I make things, the less opportunities for there to be failures. And for me, if I'm batting better than better than my competition, I'm probably winning at the end of the day.
Sam Cohen says, I only have to win 51% of the time. I have to be right 51% of the time.
Worked.
So in your case, so you're saying that tuition has taught you that there is a return, but it's not worth the investment of your time. I was just giving some advice to some, the expert of the day on John Bullard's group, mm-hmm. And somebody was talking about that they have money and they have, you know, they're getting ready to retire and they're trying to find something to do. I'm like, dude, you're way ahead of us all because you have the one thing we don't have. We all have money. We don't have time.
Yeah.
And he's got time. So you're saying, hey, the amount of time I'm investing is not worth the return that I'm getting. And I think that's great, great, smart advice that you could try it. And some people have a lot of success with it. Maybe they just have a knack for it.
And that is so true, because what my expertise is may not be your expertise, and my expertise may not be duplicated across a group of 100-plus individuals. And this is why a group like AFT works, because we all have our little pluses and minuses. We all have our little stat sheets. Look at us as an NFL football team. You're not going to win it with one player. You're going to win it with 11 people on offense, 11 people on defense, and 11 people on special teams. All right? It's that whole cog, and you have to multiply your hands in this business. You can't do it. You can do this alone, and honestly, I envy the people that have a full-time job and they're killing it and having a great 40-hour work week. That's fine. But with those extra 10 hours, if you can multiply your hands and use the resources available to you, heck, listen to this podcast. I don't care what you're doing. If people are tuning in and if they're shopping or going to bed or brushing their teeth or walking around town, going on a jog, they're multiplying their hands because they're learning and multitasking in a very easy way. And so with everything you do with Amazon, figure out a way to multiply your hands. And you know what? You're going to be a heck of a lot better off than the next person down the line.
It's so true. It's absolutely true. So when did you – you know, looking backwards, right, was there a point – you know, because the goal of this podcast is to help people move forward. And I always say that, you know, selling – 100 items on Amazon is easy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, selling 100 items on eBay, not easy. But 100 items on Amazon is easy. Selling $10,000 to $20,000 a month is easy. It's getting past that point because you can't live on that, you know, when you think about the margins and stuff. You got to get up to that I don't want to call it next level. You got to get past that point of stuck and then all of a sudden things start to click. When was that point for you looking back? I mean, was there something that kind of all of a sudden – you know, you're like, oh, wait a second, you know, supply, demand. I mean, what was it can you pinpoint something?
For me, it's a cost of living game. So whenever I decided to go full time with this was very out of my control. I was working for a great investment group. They had 6 or maybe even 10 different companies, and I wore different hats. had very few bosses, and for a young guy, I had a lot of responsibility. It was great, but they lost all their funding, and I was stuck. I just tried to do the smart things with someone who had a good job, you know, buying a house, buying a car, paying off debt, simple stuff, right? But when you lose your main income source, you're kind of screwed. But you know what? I thankfully had the ability that I had a lot of stock, and I had to inventory. I should call it inventory, not necessarily stock. You have to sell it off. And so for me, I live in DFW, Dallas-Fort Worth area, North Texas, and I realized my cost of living, I had to make up for whatever I was making before in a full-time income. Now, is this different for someone who's living in Los Angeles, California? Is it different from someone living in Jacksonville, Florida? You know, we're all different. But if you can figure out where you're at, you need to figure out on almost like a balance sheet level, what are your costs every month? Okay, let's figure out how big of a shovel you need to pay those costs, and then put in some savings in between. Now, people pay for this business many different ways. At the end of the day, sales are indicative of how much money you're making most of the time. Now, I found that most people, and this is a big one, most people need to be doing at least $250,000 in sales. Now, I know margins change and the, you know, revenues kind of things are a little bit different depending on what you sell. Absolutely. But about $250,000 in sales, you're beginning to consider a full-time income, a very sparsely fed part-time income. And then from there, you can graduate that to see, you know, where your levels get. I also know that once you hit maybe $5 million or so, you're chasing dimes in a lot of ways. Especially if you're, you know, if you're doing the wholesale market, if you're doing the retail market, you know, sourcing from those various levels, it's tough. And so there's an in between there that you can do really, really well on, and scale it to a point where you're living well, you're saving, and you're being smart with it. But to say that anyone selling less than $250,000, regardless of your margins, assuming you're doing, you know, decent, no worse than 20%, it's tough to tell someone that just sold $50,000 in a Q4 that they're ready to take that plunge. It'd be tough. But people have done it. So it's all about that determination at the end of the day.
Yeah, I think that you're right on. It's that 20,000, that's 240, that's 250, right? That's that challenging number and getting past that. So.
Yeah, I mean, it's that if you're taking home 20% of that at the end of the day, you know, I know there's a lot more that goes into it, but you're pulling in 50,000. All right. Most people can survive. You know, I know people have big families. A lot of people might have some debt. A lot of people have expenses that we can't necessarily account for, just, you know, you and I talking. But you got to kind of be at that low three-figure level to begin having those thoughts.
Yeah, and because that doesn't leave you money to keep buying, you know,
yeah,
at that level. And that's the thing you got to think about, you know, is that it's one of those challenges. Now, I think here's a place I want to digress a little bit, because one of the things, you had a great year last year and you're having a great year this year, but you're taking a little different approach this year. And I think it's worth talking about, because as I mentioned to you earlier offline, you and I talked before this call, was that I'm finding a very common theme amongst these very successful sellers, which of course you're in, is that I'm using that phrase segmentation, and I stole it from Darla. Mm-hmm. And it just putting your life in segments, not balance, segments, mm-hmm, where you're putting time. You just got married, right?
I did.
And so that was a pretty big segment of your life, and you're at that age where apparently a lot of your friends are getting married, right?
Mm-hmm.
So let's just talk about that change. Because you described to me, you recognize something. So I think it's worth talking about.
Oh, yeah. So what we spoke about maybe earlier in the segment, just the competitive drive. In AFT, we call that, you know, beast mode, right? You know, just like that lust, that bloodthirsty growl that you want to get that next sale. Bob Wiley says you got to feed the beast. That's beast mode. But at a certain point, it becomes a little unhealthy if you become obsessed with it. But To that end, no one would be listening to this podcast, no one would be getting it as involved as they are, if they didn't necessarily, you know, touch that and kind of like it a little bit. And for what I sell and how I sell, man, I'm going to work my butt off. I lose like 10 or 15 pounds every December. It's crazy. It makes no sense. I know it going in, but it happens regardless. One thing I realized on getting married, though, is whenever I was single, I had a lot more time on my hands. I was selfish in a lot of ways. All right? Because in my spare time, I might have neglected some friends having some beers, watching the game. I was working nonstop. And to that end, it served me because I had to. All right? I was not in the financial position to not work hard. I had to work hard to pay my bills. And I've justified it. But since then, getting married, you have two incomes. I've graduated my business to a level where I'm fairly comfortable. And there's room for growth and everything like that. But you're right. You do need to take time off. And so I knew this going in, that I hire a lot of TCU students to help me with my day-to-day. And I have what I think are about 7 guys that come on 1099, and they help me out when available. Well, the thing about the summertime is only one or two might be here. And am I going to invest money and chase nickels when in a month I know I'm going to be getting dimes? You know what? I'm going to go through. I'm going to do my organizing now. I'm going to make sure my taxes are spot on. I'm going to make sure my warehouse is in order. I'm going to plan my next Q4. And you know what? You know what I did this past month? Man, I took a week off, and I went with my big group of friends, and we drove from Dallas all the way to New York City over the course of a week. And I made money every day thanks to Amazon. Why? I put in the time early. And with this business, you can work 2 days a week, work your butt off 2 days a week, and you know what? You take the next 3 off. Now, are you going to hit the numbers you might in Q4? Questionable. But at the same time, you're getting that work-life balance. Man, you know and I know we're going to have to work our butts off October, November, December. So why not save up some of that gas for then and enjoy now? You know, going on a couple of trips. I'm about to go to Kansas City for a weekend. We're going to Louisville for another weekend. I have other side projects going on, man. Now is the time to kind of take it. And you could be selling a lot of money any month out of the year. I would abhor everyone. Find one month that works for you. For me, it's August. Man, for you, it might be March. Who knows? But take one month out of the year and take more time for yourself than your business, because you're going to come back recharged and rejuvenated and really wanting to get after it when you do get back.
Oh, that's a great line. You just gave me my great golden nugget right there. You know, take more time for yourself than your business. I drew a blank on her last name for a second there. Darla Flack talked about that segmentation. In the summer, she knows it's going to be slow. Guess what? That's the time to take off. That's when your body needs to be slow. That's when you need to. She's like, I'm going to be curled up in the winter. We live up north, and it's going to snow. It's going to be miserable here. Guess what? That's the time I'm not going outside. Mm-hmm. But in the summer, I'm out. So I just love it. I think that is such great advice. And this is really interesting coming from somebody like you who is so competitive. That's a very mature thing to be – you know, it's a mature business move, because that recharging, that recognizing, and the other thing, quite frankly, is you're building up cash. So you're going to be in a big position to pounce on opportunity, getting ready to turn that inventory in that fourth quarter, because you know it's double, triple sales, and you're just going to be in a great position because you're going to be able to buy a lot of quick inventory and turn it. I just love it. Well, it's great advice.
One thing I've learned in the past few years is I ran – and we've done 1K 100-day challenges, which you either have to sell at least $1,000 a day for 100 days or buy $100 – or I'm sorry, $1,000 a day for 100 days. And I've done this in the past, and I ran out of cash at certain points. And I'm kicking myself thinking, man, my balance sheet says I'm making money, but where's all my dang money? And it's an inventory. And the thing is if you don't have that cash available to pool when you need to pool it, all right, you're going to miss your target. So you need to have cash on hand. And while I love investing and I love the fast flips and I love, you know, rolling that money every month, you know, sometimes it's better to, you know, okay, I'm going to let those nickels lie because I know quarters are on the horizon.
Yeah, buying is fun. I mean, that's, let's face it, that's one of the best parts. But the better part is buying and then watching it sell really, really, really fast.
Yeah.
It's like, wow. I mean, it's almost like instant gratification. You bought it and it sold like instantly. And I just think that that's a great observation. So, you know, you mentioned a book, and I'll have a link to it in Walk the Walk. And I just wrote it down, the leadership, the rulership, the stewardship, and lemmingship. So tell us any other books or podcasts that you're listening to that you think that our listeners could benefit from.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Okay, so that, to me – man, I'm looking over. I'll tell you once a month, I will allow myself to go off the edge and go to the dark side. Do you know what I'm talking about when I talk about the dark side.
Oh, don't be telling me about some gray book or something.
Oh, man, that's what you think, all right? Well, that to me is going to a thrift store.
Ah, right. You still have that in you. You still can't get rid of that.
Once a month, I'll allow, because I know it's just going to sit here. And it's silly. I know it's silly. Either way. But I'll be honest. I'm looking over in my office now, over to my shelf. All right? Bottom two shelves have necessary stuff I need for my daily operations. The top two shelves are mementos for some trips I've gone on and some automotive things. In the middle is just a wealth of business books, leadership books, e-commerce books, and just things to live by, right? And I got to tell you, you know where I got almost, I would say, 95% of those books?
Obviously, the thrift store.
A dollar at a thrift store. Man, the amount of intelligence that people decide to donate, it's just silly. But I got to tell you, if you are going to thrift stores, if you are, you know, scanning anything, if you are, you know, looking for... Look for the – just read the sidewalls, okay? And if something looks interesting to you and it costs a dollar, the opportunity cost, heck, read a first chapter, read a second chapter, and if it stinks, throw it away. Redonate it. Sell it. Make some money on it. But there are some great, great knowledge all out there for a dollar or two. And you know what? I let this come to me, all right? I'm not one of these people that's going to go actively – I don't seek every question or the answer to every question. I'll kind of let them bring themselves up to me. And so in these books, man, there's so much good stuff, it's not even funny. But the best one I've ever found is Walk the Walk by Alan Dershowitz. It's great. It's simple. It's a leadership book. It's not a selling book. But it's going to change your mentality, especially in the seller space. Because I, as a seller, if I'm gonna have a group like Amazing Flips and Tips, I have to lead by example. All right? And look at your friends you have or people that you associate with work or in business or in church or people in your own family. Who do you look up to? Why do you look up to them? Well, it has to be some trait or some story about them or how they carry themselves. In some way or another, you keep the friends you do because they walk a certain walk, and you respect them for it. And to me, Walk the Walk is a great book. So I got to recommend that. I'll end it with there. With podcasts, man, I mean, I'd be remiss to not say that if I'm ever short on podcasts, I'm just going to immediately go to the Deborah Conrad's Thrifting for Profit, because she's got dozens of episodes, and they're all good.
Oh,
you can listen
to
three or four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10 times, and you're not going to get the info. For me right now, man, it's about to be fall. It's football season. And AFT, we're running the AFT Fantasy Football League. We like to have some fun. We're pretty serious, all right? We like to flip it good, and we like to, you know, be great. But right now we're having some fun, so I am knee-deep in fantasy football podcasts as I'm doing my day-to-day, you know, stuff that I can tune out. It's either listen to music or listen to podcasts. I'm a podcast guy. So to me, I'm listening to some fantasy football podcasts, but you got to let loose somehow. And I'm not going to waste 4 hours in front of a TV every night. Maybe on the weekends watching the ball games, of course. But that's how I want to unwind. You know, I find these podcasts that are kind of fun to listen to. And, man, just throw fantasy football in there, and you'll have like 40, 50 things come up, and I think they're all good.
And it's very healthy too, and I think it is. I think it's a great outlet, right?
Yeah,
I'll have Netflix sometimes going. I'm in my warehouse early in the morning, and I don't know what I'm watching. I don't really watch it. I just want to have it in the background.
You got to have fun with it.
Yeah,
I mean, even
I agree.
Doing a podcast like this, let's have fun. Let's talk about it. I mean, I got to tell you this: what we do is interesting. It is not weird. It is not strange. The more you open yourself up and you tell other people what you do, just in casual conversation, people will find you interesting, and you'll find new ways to go about your business, and it's a cool thing, especially if they can tell you're having fun with it. But if you're treating it like a 9-to-5 day-to-day, a struggle, well, then you know what? It might not be for you. It's not for everyone. But if you can, you're right. Have fun with it. Put on your Netflix. Hey, if you're into listening to NSYNC in the background and you're in your office and it's only you, no one's going to point a finger and laugh at you because you're just you got to do you.
I love NSYNC. You mean people don't?
Well, you know what?
I think they broke up or
something.
Don't
tell the Backstreet Boy fans of that, because I hear there are some Facebook groups just for that. The rivalry is still strong.
I was getting ready to close the podcast, and I am with that question, that my final question. But one point that you did bring up was, you know, talking again about AFT and some of the differences and the generational difference, right? So I have a son that's almost your age, and the difference of knowledge that you guys have, for example, video games,
sure,
versus what I, you know, I'm the old Nintendo guy. I mean, I remember Pong, I mean, all those things. And so it's very difficult for me to stay up on it, and that's a benefit that somebody of my age gets from being in an AFT. And it was kind of what you talked about earlier, that expertise.
Yeah.
And so I can rely on a younger group of people to talk about a particular thing, and then I pick up on it, and then I'm in the stores, and I'm like, oh, I get it. Now I see. And then it takes you off into other directions. I just didn't want to miss that point because I just think that's really important.
Oh,
okay, so the goal of the podcast is to help people move forward past that point. Yeah, we've already talked about that $20,000 a month or what have you. So I'm looking for a meaningful process improvement, something that – a tip, a trick, something that people can go and put in their business tomorrow that they could just take and get – not to next level. I don't like that phrase. Mm-hmm. But just to move them forward past stuck.
Okay. I got two for you. Okay?
Okay.
So what – Amazon sellers in particular, because this is what I do, all right, I'm all in, all eggs in one basket. You have to always keep exploring, and eventually you're going to get good. And you're right, you might never understand video games, but someone else will. So whenever you hit your plateau with whatever that might be, let's just call it shoes, and you're real good at it, you're making $75,000 in sales a month, you're rocking, it's going to be really, really hard for you to really increase that, you know, much more. Let's just say for that. Once you hit a plateau, that is a functioning cog in that flywheel. You let that one roll. Now is the time to bring in the next one, okay? So as soon as you level up your expertise, instead of trying to break through some glass ceiling you have a lot of trouble with, okay, go horizontal. Find your next thing that you can level up to that expertise. And as you go, outsource what you don't like. All right. If it annoys you, it takes you too much time. If it's something that you just, you regret doing this in your business, you can pay. You probably can pay someone for it. For me, I don't really like fulfilling merchant fulfilled orders anymore. I can't stand it. So what do? I have someone do that for me. I don't really like filling FBA boxes anymore. I have someone do that for me. Now, do you have to pay for that? Do I have to make the margins to make that ends meet? Yes. But ultimately, it'll graduate you, and it'll create your business. It'll grow for it organically. And to you, it's not work at all because you think you're, oh, my God, why am I not at $80,000 this month? Why have I plateaued? Well, thankfully, you have about two dozen categories on Amazon where you got to plateau in a lot of different categories before you're necessarily, you know, out of swings. Okay? And then my second point is go 55 and a 60. All right. Every one of the guys I've ever brought in here to help me out, every single one of them has cost a $500 mistake. I know it going in. They're going to make an error, and it's going to cost me half a grand. That's okay, though, because they're going to finally learn the lesson that if you don't do this too fast, you have to cross your T's. You have to dot your I's as you go. Grow slower rather than faster. I believe Andy mentioned this in pretty much your very first podcast, and he said, you know, you got to take your baby steps. And that rings so true. It is so easy to see that next dollar sign in your Amazon reports. And it's so easy to pull down and think, man, I am just $2,000 away from my next, you know, big home run. Well, what are you forgetting about on the side to get there? There's an opportunity cost to everything you do. Be wise with how you're spending your money, how you're spending your time, because eventually, if you go beast mode too long, you're going to have a lot of catch up to do in other areas of your business. And go 55 and a 60, and you'll be better off than not. Fast is slow, slow is fast.
Love it. Go horizontal and level up, and go 55 and a 60. And, you know, again, these are foundational things. So, again, the real key to this business is building blocks, each one of these building blocks. So if you're going horizontal and leveling up, you're basically filling in a section of that foundation, and you're going to make sure it's nice and sturdy before you try to jump to that next level. And once you master that one, you're moving up and you move up. And I just think it's smart. And going slower, you know, it goes against the grain. I mean, I think everybody, oh, my God, I got to get this done. I got to get this done. And at some point, it becomes a job, and it's always the risk. And I try to dig from people, have they reached a point where this has become a job? And I'll be honest with you, every single successful seller I have talked to has said no. They still love it. But again, they recognize that unless they segment it,
well,
it can get out of hand.
I'm going to be contrarian with you then, because I will say this is a job. And if it wasn't a job, I wouldn't take it so damn serious like I do. All right? You got to work your butt off at this, man. And yes, it's enjoyable, but will this ever be a hobby? Well, the minute it becomes a hobby, it means that I'm making enough money with some other aspect of my life that it doesn't matter as much right now.
Okay.
So
that's fair.
I got to feel like a job. I mean, I have to come in here and I got to be motivated. Because if I don't, too many bad months in a row, woo, that'll hurt.
I think my interpretation of a job is the old 9-to-5 or, you know, the, you know, hate going to work, that kind of job. But I get what you're saying. You're absolutely right. You do have to take it serious. So that is great. Ryan, how can our listeners find out more about what you're doing, find out about AFT and
groups? We've done a whole bunch of Spreecasts in the past, some Google Hangouts. We have a couple interesting things going on. The website for AFT, Amazing Flips and Tips, like we discussed earlier, is flipsandtips.com. You can read up a little bit more about AFT there. We have some Facebook fan pages. I'm sure if you throw in Amazing Flips and Tips into the Facebook search bar, we'll come up. My name is Ryan Wateska. Feel free to send me a message. I get lots of friend requests in frequently. I don't necessarily know who everyone is, but if you know, send me a friend request with a message. Hey, let's have a chat. Do the same for Peter Moelius, Moelius. Again, the guy's a genius. Hopefully he comes on here eventually. And also, I'm on Twitter, at Wateska. You can chat with me there if you're not a Facebook person. But, man, the website RyanWateska.com has got some good stuff on it. So does the website PeterMoelius.com. And I'm coming out with a podcast, too. I think this has inspired me to finally get up and launch. So Peterson, have you ever had a friend who wants to get involved with this?
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what? I will help you every single step of the way. And, we'll be hanging out next week and I'm bringing my mics and Peter has agreed to be interviewed there.
There
so, yeah, so, you know, it's exciting to me. It's exciting. You know, I love talking about this stuff and I just can't get enough talking about it. And when you're talking to people of your level and your caliber, it just brings, you know, Andy Slammons always says it, iron sharpens iron, Steve, iron sharpens iron. You got to, you know, stay with those people that are at that level and you too will get better and smarter. So, Ryan, I really appreciate you taking the time tonight to give us just some great information and some real wise advice. I think people are going to get a lot from it. Thanks a lot.
Thank you too.
All right. Have a good night.
Thanks for listening to the e-commerce Momentum Podcast. All the links mentioned today can be found at ecommercemomentum.com under this episode number. Please remember to subscribe and like us on iTunes.